Hello. Welcome to this first thoughts edition of the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast, presented by Roni's Own Media and Roni'sOwn.com. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roni from Orange County, California. Hi there. There are a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/OUAT Podcast. Our email address is feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. And the address to our forum is forum.onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our blog web address is aclosereloukouat.ronizone.com. And our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626. Thank you for listening, connecting, and interacting with us. And now, on with the show.
Welcome, everybody, to the first thoughts of the episode for Once Upon a Time called Hat Trick. And my name is Jeff Roni, and I am joined by
Colleen Roni.
And what'd you think?
I liked it, but can we do a little minor housekeeping real quick before we get into this?
Okay.
Would that be okay?
Sure.
So some of you who've been watching on Twitter know that we are currently in the San Francisco area.
Yes.
And we would like to say thank you to our fantastic hosts, John and Vina Breifogel.
Yes.
We were fortunate enough to have had the opportunity to stay here in their lovely cabin.
Yes.
So I want to make sure we give them that proper shout out.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your hospitality and just being great folks. It was great getting to know you. So.
Yeah, it really was. So I just wanted to say that. That's just the first housekeeping thing I wanted to say.
Okay.
So anyway, I really enjoyed tonight's episode.
Yes.
I really did. There were so many parts that I think kind of threw me. So I don't have the same like level of excitement that I did, say, after Red Handed or Skin Deep or Heart of Darkness. But I did like it a lot. I thought it was really good. So there are some great, great little things. We'll talk about those. But
sure.
Yeah. So what'd you think?
Okay. I think I'll take a drink first.
Okay.
So the opening shot was Mary Margaret running in the forest.
Yes.
And I thought it was interesting because that is normally what David had done before.
Oh, okay.
And I have seen the kind of flip-flop of David, Mary Margaret have been in the same situation. He was taken in the police car.
Yeah.
And then she was taken.
Yeah.
And so between the two, I see when one moment he is looked upon as a perpetrator and the next she's looked upon.
Yeah.
So that type of flipping back and forth.
Yes.
And it was interesting that Mr. Gold said that if Emma went to go help Mary Margaret, somehow that would link her together with that. So, in effect, that she would be an accessory to the crime.
Right.
So.
Because I think he knew that she was going to go help her.
Right.
And so I'm pretty sure that's what he wanted all along.
Yes. And let's see, the limp that Jefferson had was a bit like Usual Suspects. And to give the appearance of
being that, innocent, that he's not the one,
right?
Yeah.
And causing pity,
right? Right.
Accepting pity to Jefferson.
Yes.
So anyhow, the interesting name about the thing about the name Jefferson
is
was,
well, okay. So the episode is about Alice in Wonderland,
right?
Clearly. What's interesting about the name Jefferson is, and actually there were a couple of them in there that were very interesting, is that the band Jefferson Airplane later in the 80s changed it to Jefferson Starship, and I think they even went back to Jefferson Airplane at one point in time. But Jefferson Airplane...
Okay, if you went there, they actually changed their name later to Starship.
That's what I said.
No, you said back to Airplane.
Right, and then I thought that after that they had changed it back to Jefferson. So they were originally Jefferson Airplane.
Yep.
In the 80s, they became Jefferson Starship.
Yep.
And I thought, like, within the last 10, 20 years or so, they've changed it back to Jefferson Airplane. I could be wrong.
I thought they went just to Starship there for
possibly
a period
but
of time.
Anyway, bottom line is, the deal with Jefferson Airplane is that that band sang a song called Go Ask Alice.
There's a line in there. I can't remember the name, but yeah. Yeah.
Is it right? It's White Rabbit. White Rabbit.
Correct.
Sorry. The name of the song is White Rabbit,
right.
But it talks about Go Ask Alice, and one pill makes you smaller, one pill makes you tall. I mean, yes. It's just, it's very trippy and psychedelic, you know, middle of the 60s. And so that was very interesting that they pulled his name. The second one was his daughter's name, Grace, which is the name... excuse me, the name of the lead singer of Jefferson Airplane is Grace Slick. So I thought that was really interesting that they also, and I'm assuming that was kind of an homage or it was just a really good pull.
Yeah.
But anyway, so, and the fact that he had the same name in Storybrooke and Fairytale World, that was kind of a beginning, kind of a clue.
And also Grace's name in Storybrooke was?
Paige.
Right.
Which the White Rabbit was a page for the Red Queen.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know if you know that or not. In the actual story.
Could we set that over on the chair?
Yes, we can.
Cool. Okie doke. So, one of the things that Jefferson was telling Grace is to use your nose to find the mushrooms.
Yes.
And then they were going to sell those mushrooms.
Which, actually, that's another interesting thing. And this is a real stretch and a pull, but if you know the actual real Alice in Wonderland story, typically what animals use their nose to find mushrooms?
Rabbit.
No.
Okay.
Pigs. Pigs search for truffles with their nose.
Okay. Okay.
What's interesting about that is in the actual Lewis Carroll book, Alice in Wonderland, Alice encounters this... woman who has a baby, and the baby is adorable, and then as Alice is watching, the baby turns into a pig and starts squealing. And she basically is putting pepper on the baby. It's a crazy, crazy, crazy scene in the book.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really interesting chapter, but I think that's interesting that, and I picked up on that. He's like, use your nose to find mushrooms. I'm like, truffles are mushrooms, pigs find those, so
right.
Therefore I'm wondering if that's a reference.
Cool.
Just throwing that out there.
Cool. So the next thing it was highlighted to me was that they had a game where Jefferson said to Grace, go and hide as a game.
Yes.
And that reminded me of just one instance was Life is Beautiful.
Yes.
The father, played by Roberto Benigni, taught his son to hide as a game.
Yes, because his son was in the concentration camp
That's
with him
right.
and they had no idea he was there.
Yes, yes.
So it was fantastic.
So, the Evil Queen said this, and it sounded to me very much like Mr. Gold, is do this last favor for me, Jefferson. So just the word favor was kind of similar like a deal. So...
Well, and it was kind of like what I picked up from that was that, and I thought she'd use the phrase one more job and then you don't, and then everything will be fine, right? It's kind of the thing, what that reminded me of is typically, you know, the movies and stories you've seen where people will be like trying to retire from, you know, mafia, crime boss,
or
thievery.
Even the police, the movies with... Yes, anyway, police films.
Well, yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, okay, what was the movie? Something we saw this summer with, or this winter with Mark Wahlberg and...
Oh, Contraband.
That's it. I knew it was something right. contraband. So basically he was trying to get out of the life of thievery right. that he was in. He was trying to go legit and he needed one more job to, you know, satisfy
to help his brother-in-law or something.
Exactly.
Anyway, yes.
Exactly.
But that's so a lot of...
And, yeah. It's mm-hmm. the theme of a lot of movies. So that's what I was saying is it kind of felt like he was retired from... Because he went to go help her get something, retrieve something. So that tells me almost that perhaps he had been a thief before. And he was done with that because he right. settled down and had his daughter. Mm-hmm. And Regina wanted the thing back.
Right.
That was stolen from her.
And so she was asking him or telling him to help me get somewhere.
Right.
And she flipped up this folded up piece of paper. She says, I will change your life. And we don't know at this point what was on that paper.
Right.
And we also don't know the paper that she showed him to say, help me get here or somewhere.
Well, I'm pretty sure it was a map. Yeah, mm-hmm. It seems like it was a map because that was the first thing he pulled out when he was showing Emma later. So I'm kind of thinking that it was a map of all the realms. And when she pointed out where it was, he's like, well, why would you want to go there? Because he didn't like it.
Right.
We know that. We found that out as we saw later.
There was a teapot.
Yes.
In Jefferson and Storybrooke's house,
mm-hmm.
that there was a reflection, like a mirror.
Yes, yes.
And so he served tea.
Yes, and he served tea, which is the mirror is important too because and it was the portal itself was a mirror of sorts. It was a looking glass. That's mm-hmm. what you know. Mm-hmm. It's an old English term of for a mirror, but that's because Lewis Carroll's book Alice in Wonderland. It's not. The Disney movie obviously is not it's not the reality of the book. It's a blend of the Disney movie is a blend of Alice in Wonderland and the second book, which is Through the Looking Glass. Mm. And they actually did a Disney cartoon. I'm just going to geek out a little bit. They did a Disney cartoon with Mickey Mouse called Through the Looking Glass. And he transported himself into the other side of the mirror. And that was kind of interesting. It was a fun little cartoon.
Cool. So there was a scene there's like a marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where it was, but it was a marketplace.
Yes.
And Grace wanted to buy a rabbit.
Right.
And she said for her tea party.
Yes, we can. It'd be a wonderful guest at our tea parties.
And there was this not too attractive looking woman. And you kept saying that is
the
evil queen.
I'm like, that's Lana. That's the evil queen.
Right. And so it does turn out that the evil queen can transform herself to some other being.
To another form, yes.
Now, we don't know if she has to see it or she can just create it or whatever. So that is the first time I've seen something transform from one form to another.
Well, and if they follow the Disney movie at all, or the story, if I remember correctly, if they follow it, then she would have had to drink a potion. She just can't turn herself into that for some reason. That's just not part of her power. Now they may have chosen to actually make that part of her power, mm-hmm. but in the movies and what have you,
true.
She has to drink a potion to make herself the evil, the old hag.
So my question is,
maybe it was a spell. It was cast a spell on herself or drink mm-hmm. a potion. I could have sworn it was drink a potion, but
that was one of the things I was thinking about is about the box with the fingerprints on it.
Yes.
Now, maybe that was either Snow White's jewelry box or Mary Margaret's jewelry box. It had fingerprints all over it, and Regina took it, put the heart in there. And so there you go. Or maybe the evil queen or Regina transformed herself into Mary Margaret with the fingerprints and did that. So it's a stretch, but I just at least wanted to get that out there.
Okay.
So when we go back to Jefferson's house in Storybrooke.
Yes.
We notice that he has looking glasses or
mirrors all over the place.
spy glasses all over.
Oh, you're talking about
spying on.
Yes, you're talking about. I thought it was only one.
Two.
Were there two of them?
Well, there was one that was pointing at the police station.
Yes.
There was another one pointing at Grace's house.
Okay. Okay.
It wasn't moved all that much, so I'm thinking there was one on one side of the house.
Yeah.
One on the other side. So.
Yeah, and anyway. Kay. I did not see the second one. I saw the one, but I thought I saw Emma kind of shift it a little and see the first thing she could see.
Possibly. Okay.
So
that reminded me of Rear Window,
mm-hmm.
of watching other people's lives.
Spying on the neighbor, yeah.
Spying on them.
Basically stuck in the house.
Right.
But, okay, so he says to her he's been stuck here for 28 years. Did he mean in that house or did he mean in Storybrooke?
Well, and that was another thing that we were discussing is what is Wonderland in right next to Storybrooke? And was the house where Jefferson is living, was that in Wonderland? And maybe the only door outside was in Storybrooke. And well, he came in, but anyway, that perhaps.
Okay, so here's a theory I have.
Okay.
He was trapped inside that house. Here's why I think that.
Okay.
First of all, Mary Margaret didn't seem to know who he was.
Okay.
She knows pretty much everybody in town, right?
Right.
That's one thing. Second thing is that he was watching the sheriff's station. He's, I'm sure, getting the newspaper if he lives in Storybrooke, because I'm pretty sure it's delivered.
Right.
So he would know what's going on with the whole Mary Margaret case. My thinking is he saw Mary Margaret escape out of the jail, because sitting there staring, watching.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's a voyeur and he's watching what's going on, he saw Mary Margaret sneak out of jail. He also saw Emma come in and recognized, oh crap, she got herself out of jail. She went to hunt her down. So he went and snatched Mary Margaret the minute he saw her leave the jail, knowing sheriff's going to come looking for her.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause he's been watching. He knows what she'll do. And so that was kind of like his bait in a sense.
Yes.
Even though he didn't actually use it, which I thought was interesting.
So initially we see...
But it was a bargaining chip.
Yes. So initially we see Emma trying to break out of the house.
Yes.
And it was funny because the last time we've seen things like that, she was trying to see if someone broke in her apartment.
Oh, yeah.
So again, it was a flip-flop. And there's a lot of those types of things in this show.
Now, there were some things about his house that I kind of wanted to...
Sure.
First of all, it was a very trippy, psychedelic kind of house. It was very avant-garde and just very not Storybrooke-like decorations. There were treatment wallpaper, you know, that was found in a couple places in the house that I remembered. But I did see two, I think they were candles or some sort of decoration flanking his fireplace, but up on the mantle. So, and they were kind of round shaped with kind of yellowish stems. They reminded me very much of Tweedledee and Tweedledum.
Okay. Yep.
That's one thing. The other thing, I thought I saw a mask or something that was shaped somewhat like a jack-o'-lantern, which I wonder if, and it had kind of a pointy, so now that I'm thinking back on it, I wonder if that was like a mask of like the Cheshire Cat.
Okay.
And then the other thing I saw was, oh, I'm losing my train of thought here. I saw another thing that was very Alice in Wonderland, and now I can't think of it. It'll come back to me.
Okay.
But it was very, there were little tiny things here and there that just totally reminded me of the Disney movie and the book itself.
So I saw the well again.
Yes.
And it's either the same well that we've seen next to the tree, that we've seen with Ella and the
Thomas
and in Red-Handed, and now we see it again. Or these wells are markers that are put around into different areas. And those markers go underground so that maybe it's a bit like the abandoned mine.
Yeah.
So,
well, and here's a thought. I mean, I know we keep saying it's the same exact well, and maybe in a couple of these things it might be, but there also could be other wells, because think about these fairy tales. They didn't exactly have indoor plumbing.
Right, right.
So they had to get water somehow.
I'm just talking about the shape of them. So.
No, I understand. I understand. Yeah. And so, again, it could be the same well in some cases, depending on where we are in the timeline, which it's very hard to discern sometimes. But it could be that there, because it's such an important part of that time period life, everyday life, and they do play parts in the stories. I mean, even your nursery rhymes, Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water. Mm-hmm. Yep. They fetched it from the well.
Right.
So, I mean, it's just little things like that. So, anyway, just want to throw that out there.
There was a croquet set that was in Jefferson's house.
In the room where he was keeping Mary Margaret.
Right.
Yes.
And I saw a croquet set behind the counter in Mr. Gold's shop a number of episodes ago.
Okay.
And it's one of those things that I said, that's strange. I'll keep a screenshot of it. So,
well,
I'll have to dust that off.
And you know the significance, right? Do you understand
the
significance?
You mentioned it. So,
yes. Right. Okay. So in Alice in Wonderland, the Red Queen is playing croquet. So that's the first piece. Now, granted, it's not a croquet set the way they described it with, you know, the book. In the book, the croquet set was a bunch of hedgehog balls and flamingo mallets. So clearly he didn't have them, you know. But it was a nice little tip of the cap to Alice in Wonderland. Mm-hmm.
And when Emma went to tie Mary Margaret back up again, mm-hmm. it reminded me of Raiders.
Mm.
When Indy came in and was going to rescue Marion, but then put the gag back in her mouth and all that and left again.
Yeah.
That's what it reminded me of.
Yeah, a little bit.
The Jefferson tried to make a deal with the evil queen and asked and said that Grace, his daughter, should want for nothing.
Right.
And that reminded me a lot of the request that Rumpelstiltskin made with the evil queen.
Ooh, good pull.
I want for nothing. I want to live in luxury, that kind of a thing. So I just noticed
of power
there was a
and,
right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting pull.
Now, when he spun the hat,
yes,
I see purple traveling smoke again.
Yes, which I thought was interesting. The case that the hat came in, when I first saw it, I go, "That looks like a hat box," but then it had an odd shape to it. And sure enough, it was the hat box. So, but the hat itself was very interesting. It had a nice mm-hmm. purple lining
yep.
and had a kind of a weird bottom to it, or inside, mm-hmm. you know, inside the top of it, I should say. So.
And then again, we have this great discussion about seeing and not believing.
Oh, yeah.
And he was trying to break it down for Emma
mm-hmm.
and explain that you've seen it all along, but you just choose not to believe it.
And I love the fact that he pulled out of the hat, pardon the pun,
right?
But he did. He pulled out of the hat. You studied the Civil War mm-hmm. in high school, right? How did you learn about it?
Right.
By reading stories in a book. So how is this any different? She's like, well, it's different. That's history. So, and then he told her to wake up.
Right.
I caught that. He said, wake up.
Yes.
So that was really, really good that he would pull that out of there.
And there was this kind of mirror-ish portal area that you could walk through when they went from this room of doors.
Yes.
Circular room of doors. Another circular room, by the way. We've seen a number of circular
rooms. We have.
Rooms.
Yes.
And this reminded me a lot of Stargate or The Abyss or something like that, where it had a living type of thing. It
yeah.
wasn't just a yeah. mirror. And they went into the Wonderland area, and he mentioned he hates Wonderland or something like that.
I hate Wonderland, yeah.
So when he walks by the caterpillar, we find Mr. Roger Daltrey playing the caterpillar. And he keeps asking, who are you? So Mr. Dave from Michigan, I hope you're listening to us here, is you win the prize for your hope and wish because you got it. So very good. Excellent poll on that.
Yes. Now, can we go back a little bit to the room of doors? I loved what Regina said when they got in, when they ended up there. She said, I forgot how amazing you are.
Right.
So it's kind of interesting. She knows him from somewhere before. Obviously, he's either done dirty work for her before or she just knew who he was, which we kind of established at the beginning anyway. Mm-hmm. And boy, was it just me or did anybody else see that when he talked to people, he got like right up in their... There were several times I thought he was going to kiss either Regina or Emma. Mm. I was like, dude, what is your deal? Why are you Mr. Close Talker?
Yep.
It was very interesting. I'm not complaining because he was a very nice looking young man. Mm-hmm. Very nice looking young man. But it was just so odd that he was so close to everybody. And maybe that was part of the whole psychedelic thing, trying to, you know, add to the mystique of it. The mirror, the portal that they went through, that was also another reference to through the looking glass. Mm-hmm. Because again, that's how Alice got into the other side. She went in through the looking glass.
Yep. And then he was talking about magic.
Yes.
That she brought magic. And that magic was important. He talked about imagination. You were mentioning stories. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, you know, some stories aren't real. And he says, but they're from imagination. And he said, there are infinite real worlds. They're pressing up against each other, realms. And realms, to me, reminded me of Freytale Land when there's all these realms. And whatever, what happened to Frederick, that's the one thing that Abigail was saying. Well, we've crossed into my father's realm now, so you're safe. Mm-hmm. So there are different realms.
Yes.
And I would imagine that these realms have different power or... And that's another thing that Jefferson said. Magic doesn't work in all realms, but in certain ones it does. Mm-hmm. So we're finding out more and more and more. And also Jefferson in Storybrooke said he was a amateur cartographer.
Yes.
And then he had a map. And I wish I could buy that map right now. We would answer a lot of questions, but... We only see a little bit of it, so we're going to have to try and get a screenshot of that.
We do. But what was interesting about that is that it was kind of a slightly rounded rectangular shape. It wasn't quite completely oval, but it was somewhat rectangular. Anyway, that seemed to be the border of Storybrooke. And there were trees and what have you. But there was a road leading into it and a road leading out of it. Mm-hmm. It's the same road, so it was like one big main road. That was like the highway. It was kind of red. That was the red line. That's what I saw anyway.
So it goes back to what we've mentioned before, is that the road that went to where it looks like things fell off the world, that road doesn't go off anywhere. It just stops. So that obviously is not the road out.
Well, and that's the thing. Is it or is it not? Well, and that's what I don't know.
The other interesting thing was the old switcheroo and... The Evil Queen did not mention that she was going to make her father look to me like she made him larger by feeding him the mushroom in the heart box. So now we know more about the heart box, that they're not just hearts. And that's been actually discussed from the very beginning.
Yes.
A lot of people said, is it just hearts? What else is in there? Well, a shrunken father is in one of the heart box.
Yes.
Now, another thing is the heart vault room. Was that the Evil Queen's heart vault room that maybe the Queen of Hearts took away? Or are they separate ones? Or maybe the Evil Queen said, I want a room just like the Queen of Hearts? I don't know the answer to that yet. But it looked to me...
Or did Regina by any chance steal that room back?
Okay.
Once the curse was done and over with. I don't know.
So initially I thought that Wonderland and the garden maze was a portal of some kind that could get to the the Heart Vault room. But I'm kind of leaning towards that was the Queen of Hearts Heart Vault room.
And I'm leaning towards that as well.
As a like a cell or something like that for that.
Well, you don't get to be the evil queen, you know. She's not the only queen in town.
Right.
Right? I mean, she's the only queen in her area, but there's other queens. We've seen that. So the Red Queen, maybe they all kind of got them from the same place.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like a Heart Vaults or Us store.
Okay. All right.
I'm kidding. I don't know. But I do want to talk about that maze, the hedge maze. I don't know if you picked up on this because it was not just the maze, but it was also the whole path leading into the Heart Vault and up to her area, right?
Right.
You commented on it at one point in time. I believe that was an homage to the movie Labyrinth with David Bowie and Jennifer Connelly.
Mm-hmm.
And actually Timothy Dalton.
Mm-hmm.
No. Wrong movie. Jennifer Connelly and David Bowie. I believe that was an homage because in the movie Labyrinth, there was this elaborate hedge maze that she had to get through to get to the center of where the Goblin King was.
Mm.
And then not only that, once she got there, everything was very Escher, which is the artist that did the strange staircases that look like they're walking in on themselves and very upside down. He's an unusual artist, and he's done some kind of distorted view, kind of like how the reflection was in the teapot. So I think that was maybe possibly an homage to Escher.
And we also saw in the hedge maze this living vines that were grabbing you or people and that kind of a thing. So we've seen that before when the evil queen is talking to the evildoers in the little fire pit area. And she says, if you don't comply, you know, what can happen? And then she made the vines kind of grow up around his walls.
Yes.
And also in True North, she sent vines down to grab the children.
That is correct.
Eva and Nicholas.
Mm-hmm.
And then also there were living vines under the water with the guardian of Lake Nostos.
Yes, that's true.
Which grabbed Prince Charming and pulled him under. So we've seen a lot of living bushes and vines and things. So.
Right. Control over nature.
Right. So, and then the evil queen shot some fire right down the middle and said, well, look, I don't have that much time. I'm just going to just go through the middle.
Let's just go get this.
Right. And the masks in the main room with the Queen of Hearts and all that.
Let's not skip over the part where she gives him the mushroom, right?
Well, okay.
Because that's also part of the actual Alice in Wonderland story is that Alice had gotten, she shrank really small when she said, drink me, to get to the, to get through the door in the first place to even get into Wonderland after she came down the rabbit hole. She got the drink me and eat me. So she saw those. And so she ended up very small. Well, at some point in time, as she's walking through, she comes across the caterpillar and tells her to eat the other side of the mushroom and it'll make her grow bigger.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where that kind of came from.
Okay.
Just want to throw that out there. But that was really a rotten thing for her to do.
Right.
She's evil.
Okay.
So, she's beautiful, loved her costuming, but she's evil. Just saying.
So it seemed like Jefferson had knowledge outside of the curse. So somehow, maybe, and that's why I was mentioning that the house perhaps was in the Wonderland realm. Now,
yeah,
this is where it kind of gets confusing, but it seems like the curse, kind of like Mason mentioned many, many, many shows ago, many podcast episodes ago, is that the curse was everywhere. But if so, if maybe Wonderland was exempt or something like that, somehow, maybe the Queen of Hearts said, I will have none of this dark curse. And so maybe Jefferson was trapped not by the dark curse, but just in this house for 28 years. And the only way out was to make this hat that would allow him to leave. So,
well, he knew the hat was the way he could get in and out of where we needed to go, because right. that was the whole point. He even said the rules of the hat. The yes. rules of the hat. Mm-hmm. The same number of people that go in have to be the same number that comes out.
And that was a mean trick, because the Evil Queen did not tell him, oh, yeah, I'm going to get my father.
We're going to go get Daddy.
Right. So, and even if he was smaller, it would still have been two people. So Jefferson was really out of luck.
Right. Well, so. And one of the important themes of this, and we'll talk about this in a minute too, of this show was family. Mm-hmm. So I just want to kind of put that out there for one little second. But it was a mean little trick, and I was really sad that he got stuck there. And then he looked so dejected when they were dragging him to see the queen. I mean, his yeah. poor little feet dragging on. I felt bad for him. He was just a dad who wanted to get home to his daughter. He'd lost his wife, it seemed like, you know.
Well, and this parallels Skin Deep in a way.
Yeah, it does.
With the father trying to either be rejoined with his child or to save his child
from
something.
Right, from something. So back to the okay, so now he's dragged off to the queen.
Right.
And again, the queen's palace, there were bits and pieces of it that looked very Escher-like.
Right.
And the masks.
Yeah, the masks to me looked very strange. I don't know. And I don't know what movie, but it really kind of stuck out to me.
Well, I can actually tell you where some of the masks came from, or at least the place that I've seen them, that I recognize them. Quite a few years ago, early 90s, there was a movie, Much Ado About Nothing. Hmm. And it is actually the Shakespearean play in movie format, and Kenneth Branagh. Fantastic movie, and if you like Shakespeare, if you understand Shakespeare, which is sometimes hard to do, but if you like it, if you enjoy Shakespeare, great movie, unbelievable cast. Anyway, in one of the scenes, there's a ball, and it's a masquerade ball, and very typically, they would create masks that look like animals, so they would have big, long beaks to look like birds, or they would have, you know, funny little winged eyebrow kind of things to look like butterflies and what have you. That's what I think that was, is that's very Renaissance-y.
Okay.
If that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. And we have another bit of dialogue between Jefferson and Emma when he was saying, well, you need to start believing and make me the hat that works. And so there was a bit of dialogue toward the end where she alluded to, well, if I need to believe, then I need to believe that that woman in the other room is my mother. And so then we start to kind of think, then we start to believe that she believes that the book is true. So, but...
Go ahead.
But she... So there's an altercation, and Mary Margaret kicks him out the window, and he disappears, but the hat is left. And so the question that we had is, did Emma in fact believe, and that's why the hat worked? Or, I don't know.
You know, there are a couple things on that, but I want to kind of skip back a little bit to that whole conversation. Because what he did was he played on her sympathy because he knew that if anybody would understand, it would be her. He played on her sympathy saying, you know, I just want to be able to get my daughter back. Do you have any idea how painful it is to watch her living this life where she doesn't even know I exist? She doesn't know what relationship we have. And he said, and keeping two realities in your head will drive you mad. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was a very interesting and very impassioned plea for her to help him figure out a way to just set aside whatever hesitation she had and help him. And I think that she recognized in him that vulnerability and said, aha, if I play to that sympathy, then I can catch him off guard, and then I can hopefully, you know, subdue him. So when she said, I know what it's like to be separated from your kid. And if I am supposed to believe, if I believe what you say, then I have to believe that woman in that other room is my mother. And she started crying. I was like, wow, she's really good. And I thought, for half a split second, I thought, she's actually starting to believe this.
Right.
And then I went, nope. This is Emma. Emma's not that easy of a target for something like this. She's playing him so she can subdue him. And sure enough, she did indeed subdue him temporarily. And then he put the hat on that she was working on, that she had made, quote unquote.
Right.
And that's when he fell out the window, which Mary Margaret just like, whoa, what happened? And then he fell out the window and he was nowhere to be found.
So the question is, back to when he went before the Queen of Hearts, they cut his head off.
Yeah.
How did he come back together in Storybrooke? What was it, kind of an automatic thing?
I don't think so, because what we didn't see was, she said the Red Queen's interpreter, which she was, by the way, I thought it was really weird that she had the veil over her head and that she was talking through what appeared to be a megaphone shaped like an elephant trunk to the interpreter, who then just repeated what she said, which was kind of weird and odd. Anywho, kind of reminded me a little bit of Fifth Element.
Okay. Very stylish, yeah.
Yeah, very stylish and very strange movie. But anyway, great movie. But what I thought was interesting is that she said to him, off with his head. They cut his head off, which kind of shocked me a little bit. I mean, I was like, okay, that was a little unexpected. I thought somehow he would stop it, he would disappear, something would happen. And that would be how he ended up in, you know, Storybrooke. But no, she cut off his head, or had them cut off his head, and then he's basically a talking head.
Yes.
And then his body's laying on the ground. And there really wasn't much in the way of blood, which was kind of interesting, because, you know,
right,
theoretically there should have been, like, a lot of it. And then she said, do you want your body back? Then you have to do what I ask, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
If I'm not mistaken. So that's how I think he got his head back, because the fact is, we saw him at the end sitting in the room full of hats, making hats, just repeatedly making hats, and clearly mad.
Yep.
Making him truly the Mad Hatter. So.
So Mary Margaret looks like she took a little kickboxing.
Well, that's what Emma asked her.
And got it from Snow, so that's kind of funny.
Emma asked her, have you been taking kickboxing lately? No.
And
I do not know where that came from.
The hedges in the Storybrooke home of Jefferson look very much like the hedges in Wonderland.
Oh, interesting. Okay, I wasn't paying attention to the hedges again. His home was gorgeous. It was strange, but it was gorgeous.
And the address was 316, so.
Oh, interesting.
Either biblical or Lostian reference there.
Oh, possibly, possibly.
The newspaper that Mary Margaret was reading in the cell, it said heartless in the headline, so that was kind of funny.
Yes.
And Mr. Gold and Regina are definitely, you know, for two people that really can't get along and one steals a cup from the other, they sure do get in cahoots pretty quick after that. So,
really? You think they're actually in cahoots?
Well,
I think that's Gold setting her up yet again.
All right.
Because if he can trick her any way he can, you think he wants to destroy her? He really does, because he knows the evil bad curse. Emma's the reason. So if he acts like he doesn't want it to be fixed, he'll get in cahoots with Regina if he thinks he can get what he needs out of her. But before we get into that, we need to go kind of back into the stuff that happened before that, right?
Sure.
So Mary Margaret and Emma are standing outside. You're missing a whole scene here, Sweet Pea.
Oh. Enlighten me.
I'm enlightening you. So Mary Margaret and Emma get out of his house. They've looked around for him. They've got no sign of him. So what do? Emma sees her car covered in a tarp.
Mm-hmm.
Or a car cover. And she looks inside, and there are the keys sitting on her chair, on her driver's seat.
Right.
She grabs them. She's like, okay. And then she hands them over to Mary Margaret. You're encouraging me to run? No, I'm letting you make a choice. And hopefully you'll make the right one. And sure enough, they start hearing the bells chime for the 8 o'clock arraignment.
Right.
What I want to know, because it looked like they were kind of a little ways away.
Mm-hmm.
How exactly did Mary Margaret get back in the cell so quickly before Regina got there?
So you think she used the hat or something?
I don't think she used the hat necessarily, but I thought it was very interesting that it just looked like it would have been close to impossible for her to have.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So I don't think we talked about this. Okay, so I started to back away at the beginning. I know I'm jumping around here a little bit, but I want to get back to this because I think this is an interesting point. So the question is, he's trapped in the house or in Storybrooke for 28 years?
Right.
I think he was trapped in the house, and he only was able to get out of the house, which was technically that wooded area, was still part of the property of sorts.
Okay.
So because that was part of the boundary line, that's why I think he's able to go out there.
Okay.
But I think the only reason why is because Emma is the reason why he was able to leave the house.
Yeah, right.
So.
Okay.
Just saying.
Cool. So that's it. Great full episode. All kinds of different twists and turns.
Yes.
So at this point, we're going to say bye. And we will be doing a regular episode on Thursday.
We will. That is correct.
Yes. And so go ahead and send us your emails and call in your voicemails. And we will love to hear them and talk about them very soon.
Yes.
So have a great week. And we will be talking at you soon.
Alrighty. Bye-bye.
See ya. Bye.